Okay, tonight, are y'all ready?
We're excited.
Okay, tonight we're going to do picturing your life without any fear in it. Now, we're going to cover a lot of scripture. Is there anybody in here that just really struggles with fear? I mean, that is your... Okay, well, it's for you. I may put you right here then. Okay, picturing your life without any fear. Have you ever thought how many times Jesus just said, fear not, fear not? Yeah. And when you look at it, yeah, every time he opened his mouth, if he was walking on the sea, if it was a voice from heaven, it was the death of that daughter, if it was the state of shock from the amount of the fish they caught, if it was the anxiety over food and clothes, every single time he just said, fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not. I think it's in the Bible. How many times?
45.
It tells you, fear not. Fear not, fear not, fear not. So I would like for y'all to make a complete list of what you have that you fear. I'd like for you to put down a list and just say, these are fears that I struggle with, and just compile a list for us, okay? After Bible study tonight for your devotional. So anyway, you know, I went through my Philippines journal notes, and I have like 12 pages about this trip, and I'm still not through typing. You know, I'm just telling all the stories. And I just looked and I marked where I had fear in the trip. And I'm targeting those areas. I'm asking myself, did I overcome at that point in the trip? Or do I still need some overcoming there? You know, am I still battling that fear? Or did I do a good job on that? So, you know, one of those times on the trip was when I lost Josh's retainer. You know, just panic came over me. Then Angela goes, you caused a divorce. You know, you've lost his retainer. You left it in Cebu. Did I overcome these fears? Okay, your key verse for this is Isaiah 41:10, and it's the secret of fear not. Don't think you who know these Bible studies on fear, if you're going to get away, because I'm going to be asking some questions, so pay attention tonight. Okay, Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. There are five reasons that you are commanded not to fear. And this is the reason why. God doesn't tell you to do something that he doesn't enable you to do it. He doesn't tell you to do something that he doesn't give you the power to do it. God doesn't just tell you not to fear without putting himself inside of you so that you have the power not to fear. Some people have never lived a fear-free life enough to even know that this is possible, that you can live without fear. They don't even realize they should be battling the fear in their life. And I'm looking here and I'm seeing these reasons not to fear. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not fear because God is next to me. Do not fear because I am your God. Do not look anxiously about you because I am your God. Don't look for somebody else. Don't look for someone, something else to help me. Because it says right there that God belongs to me. I think that's a little bit personal there to say, I am your God, so don't fear. Well, that's kind of an interesting statement. God belongs to me, so I don't fear. I will strengthen you. So God's going to give me something to keep me from fearing. I will surely help you. That means God's going to keep an eye on me. You know, I appreciate assistants who keep an eye on me. I appreciate people that keep an eye on what's happening, keeping the trouble from coming at my backside. You know, that God's going to actually reach for me, that he's going to help me, that he's going to uphold me with his righteous right hand. So that means he's in the reach position with me. I'm in trouble, he grabs me. Amen. That's a concept that God is with me. So I want you to say this with me. Fear not.
Fear not.
Then put your name in there. Fear not, Angie.
Fear not.
That's so beautiful. For God is with me. Fear not. Angie, for God is my God. Fear not, Angie, for God will strengthen me. Fear not, Angie, for God will help me. Fear not, Angie, for God will uphold me with his righteous right arm. And those are a lot of promises. That is the reason we can have a Bible study on fear, because he is making you five promises that don't just touch your mind but go into you. And he says, I will give you the strength not to fear. Now, you got to experiment with this. Rachel, I just think of you thrown in jail with some of us crossliners. I just think of different predicaments that you can get yourself in. No names mentioned. And I remember practicing that one weekend. Jacob Kieran invited us to one of his kids' weddings. And it was in Chicago. And the planes didn't work out right to get back in time for school, nor did they work out right without missing the reception. Why fly out there and miss the whole reception? So I took a plane ticket that would give me 20 minutes to drive to the airport, from the reception, get my boarding pass, go through inspection, run to the other end of the terminal, and get on the plane in 20 minutes. I called the airlines. I said, I'm going to do this. What do you think? And they gave me some advice. But I named the weekend No Fear Weekend, and I took a little freshman crossliner with me that, you know, she was like, oh, my gosh, no fear. I put her in witnessing. We went places without phone numbers. We arrived in Chicago, didn't have any idea where anybody was. I mean, we did crazy stuff, and everything worked out perfectly synced because we were just seeing, can it happen? I mean, not too much is going to go wrong in Chicago. You know, try these countries that you don't speak their language and you might have a little bit more fun and challenge. But I thought, let's name, how about if I said tomorrow, you're going to have a day with no fear. Can you imagine riding across tomorrow and just saying, just tomorrow, no fear. No fear. I'm not going to have any fear. Our No Fear Weekend was so much fun. Did you know we had to sit in the lobby of the plane before we boarded and the plane wasn't late? I cannot explain to you what God does with time. I cannot explain how he made that happen. Our taxi was 10 minutes late. I got into fear. I was like, you're cutting into our No Fear Weekend. And he forgot us. And I still made the plane in Chicago. Went through all you have to go through. You know, 1, 2, 3 things have to happen before you get on that plane. No fear. Getting that concept inside of you of the absence of fear. So my goal is that with this study, that you're going to make a personal decision in your life. I'm going to get rid of fear in my life. And you're going to make that personal decision inside of yourself where you're going to see fear. And the minute you see fear, you're going to start battling the fear. Because if you don't battle the fear, you're going to battle something else. And you're going to move into the wrong situation. You'll get things going in your life you shouldn't. Fear opens different doors. So you've got to battle the fear. All right, this Jewish guy, Meerkatz, bought this book at Hastings. Really, you got to read this name. Rabbi Shumli Botich. Rabbi Shumli Botich. And he said, breaking free from the prison of fear is like getting to participate in a jailbreak every day. Isn't that funny? He said, we live in this prison of fear. And he said, what a fun thing in life to just break free, just to have a jailbreak. Some of you guys are made for that. You know, I was thinking the only time I've ever seen y'all really afraid in here was the night we taught on the end times. And you know what? You just can't make Revelation better, especially if you go through it verse by verse. All right, I want you to look at this in terms of Matthew 24, verse 6. Jesus has a scripture that he wants you to write across Revelation, and it's Matthew 24, verse 6. And he names all these things that are really bad that are going to happen. There's going to be some rough times. He said, there's going to be earthquakes and famines and floods and pestilence. Now, that's fatal diseases. And you'll be afraid because you'll hear of wars and there'll be rumors of wars and there'll really be wars. You think of how many wars have taken place since he spoke these words. You'll be afraid of what is happening. You'll be afraid of what could happen. And then at the end of that, he says, see to it that you're not alarmed. Now, isn't that hysterical? Go through the book of Revelation, but don't be afraid. I mean, you're looking here and you're seeing this exactly like this, where it gives you a very rough list and then he tells you not to be afraid. Now, I'm going to tell you something that's interesting about this passage. He doesn't use the word do not fear, do not be afraid like he's been using all along. He uses a special word here that he doesn't use anywhere else except in this one passage, and all the gospel writers caught it, that he used this word when he said don't be afraid concerning end times. And it means to wail, to cry aloud. It's a word that means that there's a lot of noise going on. It's tumultuous noise. It's just like that crazy kind of when everybody's screaming because something bad's happened. It's like for a troubled, disturbed disaster. That's the word he used to say, do not be alarmed. It's a real interesting word here. And then look at it. He says, see to it that you don't be frightened. He didn't say God's going to see to it for you. He tells you, you see to it. Well, I kind of like that, to think that there's even a possibility I could see to it that I'm not scared out of my mind.
Yeah.
You know, scared the life out of you. I never even knew till I got caught with 9 boxes of books on me that I wasn't supposed to have, that really scared spitless was really something that could happen to you. And I was like, I owe you $1,400. I was standing in line for Tiger Airlines to go into Singapore, and they said, it's going to be $1,000 to take your toddler books in. I felt the saliva leave my mouth again, picturing having the books and say, free, anybody that wants them. I go, is that 1,000 pesos? Did I misunderstand you? No, 1,000 and something U.S. dollars. You know, you want to give up right there and say, forget all the translations we've been doing. This is what it's talking about. See to it that you're not afraid. The minute that happens, I don't start battling there. I start having to battle the fear. You battle the fear that's coming against you. See to it that you're not alarmed, that it doesn't make you crazy. In other words, what it's telling you in our language is, don't freak out. When everyone else is going crazy and they're crazy all over the place, don't have one of those wig out kind of days. You've seen people when they do it. They come in and they're spinning. They're freaking out. Okay, are we seeing here that fear is a choice? That is the emotion of fear truly a choice? You mean I have choices over my emotions? I think that's so interesting that we can choose not to have fear according to what Jesus said, or he's just wasting his breath and he's like your mother telling you before you go to camp, or, you know, be good. Or you know how mothers tell you these things that you think little boys don't get in camp and think, oh, mother told me to be good. You know, and you just think, you know, they just say these words. You're going to have to make up your mind. Was Jesus really imparting something inside of you telling you, you can do this? It is really possible to not fear. Fear of what's next. Fear of circumstances that are around you. Now, correspond that verse in Matthew 24:6 to Deuteronomy 28:34. Okay, Deuteronomy 28:34. It's part of the curse. He probably has this memorized. And it says, if you're under the curse of the law because you're disobedient to God and you don't obey his commands, it says you're going to go crazy. You're going to go into bewilderment. You're going to go mad because of the things you see around you. Isn't that an interesting curse? Because of what's coming on the earth, and because of the disaster, and because of everything happening, your mind is going to go mad. It's going to go crazy because you can't stand seeing what's happening. That is a curse. And if you're experiencing that in your life where you see bad things happening and that bad stuff is getting on the inside of you and not God's getting on the inside of you, you're under a curse. Fear is not supposed to be able to jump off of them and jump onto you. It's not supposed to be able to enter you. This is kind of a shocking statement when you think about the fact that bad things can happen, but they're supposed to happen outside of you. Apart from you. It's not supposed to cause bewilderment. Did you know that's why Corrie Ten Boom could be in the Holocaust in the middle of a concentration camp where everyone is going crazy and it not affect her? She walks out with a testimony in her hand. Because you can go through the same thing they go through, and you can go through with the promises of God and have a different outcome than the other person.
That's right.
You look at Jolena, and she was in Turkey when an earthquake hit her, and all the little Muslim children are hanging onto her legs in the swimming pool. And you ought to have heard her quoting Psalm 91 and Jesus with all those Muslims. I was thinking of this verse here. You will not go crazy because of what your eyes see. If it's a curse, and Galatians 3:13 says you're redeemed from the curse, then that means the opposite of the curse is what's true about your life, right? If you're redeemed from going mad, then that means you're like David and Leslie are driving to Montana. God puts them on a different route. There's been a car wreck. They get out there and people are hysterical. There's a little 9-year-old boy and the top of his mouth is all broken. His chest is like crushed. Blood's coming out. They can't move his neck. And everybody's screaming, he's going to die. He's going to die. He's going to die. And David runs over there, and he's rebuking the spirit of death off him, and he's praying over him and using the best power that he knows. And Leslie, they think David's crazy, but Leslie fixed it. He goes, he's a doctor. Trained in emergency, but that made everyone back off. Y'all, look at the difference. Do you understand situations are like that so God can shine? Rather than for the stuff to get inside of us? I mean, when the bewilderment comes, when the tribulation comes, when all this stuff comes on the world, you got to tell yourself, this isn't meant for the Christian. Yeah. This is for the harvest. This is these people getting their last chance to get in. This is when you shine because you're going to take the Lord to them. Yeah. See, what happened was, in that situation, because they didn't fear, they were able to pour the Lord's compassion all over that little boy, Alex. Yeah, they were able to speak something into him. Instead of him laying there and everybody saying, "You're dying," and they would have ripped the boy up and moved his neck. And, you know, if it was broken, you can imagine what that would have happened in a state of panic. You can see where that story would have led. But because someone that knew Christ, or because you're on the scene and you have Christ in you and you come on the scene, circumstances change. Unless you let their fear get into you. Unless you let what they're experiencing get into you. We call it sympathy sometimes, but it enters us. You cannot let their pain inside of you. You've got to let your peace go into them. So this is the contrast that we're going to be living in. The end days are going to be experiencing craziness. And it's like enough to make your mind go off its rocker. It's enough that it says it makes men with good hearts, their hearts will stop working right and their hearts will fail them. You read about that plane that landed in Colombia, yeah. Andrea's home country. She's half Colombian. So the plane comes down. It lands in Colombia, and it breaks into three pieces. I mean, completely shears it. Can you imagine being on a plane, and Josh is sitting in front of you, and he's no longer there? I mean, he's just way up here. But we're all buckled in. Everybody on the plane was safe, but one guy died. And you know he didn't die because his seatbelt yanked his head off or something? He died because his heart had a heart attack. He went through that whole experience, lived, and then died of a heart attack. Y'all, I'm going to tell you, you got to get fear out of you and that strength of the Lord where he's reaching inside of you, where he's putting his strength in you to not fear. Deuteronomy 28:34, write it in your Bible. You're not going to go crazy because what you see. You're not going to go crazy because of circumstances around you. The strength and the spirit of the Lord is in you. It's a blessing that you have presence of mind and that you have what the world needs. Fear of losing control. You know, a lot of times people have fear, and the reason they don't go deeper with God is they're scared of surrender. You know, wonder what God will make me do if I surrender to him. It's not going to fix judgment day for you, any of just saying. All right, fear of losing. Fear of losing was one of the strongest battles I ever fought. But what's that verse, Dobernecki? Where's Dobernecki? Yes. 1 John 4:18. Perfect love cast out fear. There's no fear in love. I was thinking, you know, Dobernecki on this trip and what he went through before it happened. And the moment that he had that phone recording saying, "Hey, my son is a man now. He stood up to me." And Dobers was taking that phone call everywhere and going, "Listen to my dad." He didn't even know the phone went turned off and he's talking to the waitress. You know, you feel that where suddenly that fear of thinking, "Man, I'm going to displease somebody. Man, I'm afraid." And you feel that fear and pushing through it. You know, I was thinking of Rachel, thinking what she went through. I was glad that Dobers and Angela and Kyle were the ones that went and brought her safely to Brownwood. Yeah, Jenna Kay, you know, leaving her house in tears. But you know, there was nothing like being in the airport and her dad hands $40 to her for a trip and blesses. You know, there's those moments of fear, difficulty. You know, getting enough money for the trip. You know, I remember, y'all, money drives you crazy. You know, most people don't go on mission trips because it costs how much? Well, you ought to be team two. We like to play around, experiment with that. We're in Singapore, and we bought $100 tickets to get across there to visit all these places, except we can't find tickets home that aren't $400 to $600, and they're from strange and faraway places. And we give ourselves 1 hour, Zach and John and Malou and me, we're all on computers, and the prices are out of the roof. And you know what? We tell ourselves, 1 hour limit. We're not going any further than that because we're not going to waste our time in this country looking for something that's God's problem. We just were like, you know, we're like, we don't know what we're going to do. We don't want to miss our trip to Palau and meet up with y'all, but, you know, we got to do something. You know, we go and catch a bus to Malaysia to solve the pain. And in the midst of being in a bus yard where we have Zach running like a barker in the, what do you call it, New York, the stock exchange. He's running. Okay, got tickets for this price. It leaps out at this price. We got tickets at this price. And back. I walk up to a lady and I thought, oh, I'll beat Zach's tickets because he's bringing all these prizes. You know, in the middle of a bus yard, she sells airplane tickets. And I go, I don't want airplane tickets. I'm not flying to Malaysia. She goes, where do you want to fly to? And I go, home. Manila, help me. She flew us to Thailand and Manila cheaper than anything we were finding, and we led her to the Lord and almost got her assistant saved. And Zach is running around getting money exchanged, put his foot in the door of the bus, wouldn't let him pull out without us. That bus ride was so important. That had our tour director on it that was going to show us James Hudson Taylor IV, if you know who that is, in China. The German atheist girl who was so beautiful that just didn't know the Lord and said, I've never had this deep of a conversation seriously considering Christianity. I've only talked to Hindus and Muslims. You know, they never look at Christianity seriously. And after 4 hours with this group, you take Christianity a little bit seriously. We belonged on that bus. God had our tickets. He led the ticket directors say, don't waste time in front of a computer. He wants you with a live person. I am telling you that money is your servant. It's your slave. It does not tell you what to do. It does not tell you what to do. I do pray that it didn't tell you not to go. Because money is not your boss. It's so amazing how this fear. You know, I was thinking of Leslie climbing the radio tower. You know, he must have Indian blood in him. But he told me he got past the guide wires. And he thought about, for the first time, whoa, how about if the top goes? That's a horrible thought. I must have been feeling his fear, because I would go inside where it was cool and want to go over all this business stuff with the radio station with Dad. I would start thinking, I can't be in the cool. I've got to go back out in the heat and watch Leslie, because if he falls, we'll catch him. We'll raise him. We'll do something. You know, I wanted my faith on him. I was like, it was ridiculous, 400 and something feet up there. You know, fear, that moment in the trip where you get past the guide wires and you're climbing freelance. He went to rock climbing class that day and he goes, I don't need the lessons for 25 feet when I've been 400 and something feet above Brownwood. Y'all, I'm telling you, the fear, what we're doing here, fear of failure. Have you ever been in a class or an office and you have so much fear of people that instead of asking a question for help, you waiting to see if you can figure it out yourself? And you do something dumb, or you don't get the assignment in, or you don't have a test. Did you know some people are so immobilized by fear, they can't even ask a question to anyone else? Yeah. I heard a testimony this weekend. Janice and I were telling each other our how shy we were stories. And Janice taught me. She said she was so shy that her mother and her could not ask a waiter for the food or order it. And she would ask her mother, and her mother would make her order for her. It's a different girl now who's talking to that Russian girl, and we're all witnessing. I mean, can you imagine where fear has you in a prison? It's time for a jailbreak. We have places where we're enclosed in there. You know, I was thinking of, when we went to Germany, I think the bolder our plans are, the better they work. But I remember about 3 days before we left for Germany, it was Leslie and my mother going to Germany, sorry. And I sat there, I don't know if y'all have this, but I have voices in my head. And the voice in my head said, you're going to fail. You're going to go to Germany. You don't know anybody in Germany. You have no contacts that you know that, you know, this is the craziest thing you've ever done. And Leslie and your mother are going to think you're completely just off your rocker. And I'd go, no, Leslie and I have done this in Korea. It can work. And I would just go so crazy inside myself going, how stupid it is to go to a country, to go to this country and do what we're going to do. And y'all, I would just the fear, and I would start saying no. And I opened my eyes and Jolena had a sign that said, fear not, I am with you. And I walked around again in her house and I was just, no, no. And I was fighting that fear of failure. Y'all, I've told you, failure comes so close to me before a mission trip, I can smell its breath. Open my eyes again, and there said another verse, lo, I'll be with you always. And they were staring at me. I said, God, are you doing this? I mean, a voice from heaven would have been nice, but a sign in your face when you open your eyes is not bad. You know, God is assuring you, I'm here. Why fear? Why fear? I mean, do the craziest stuff possible. I'm on scripture. It just says go into the world. It didn't tell me a lot of details. I mean, it's just shocking what God can do here. Anytime you have those full-blown raging emotions, you've got to battle that fear. Or do you know what I'm going to tell you? It will happen like you fear. I think I would have gone and failed if I didn't take care of it right there. You know, a lot of times we're in this circle and we're praying and we're asking you, what's your biggest fear over there? Because we're going to face it here before we get there, before you're facing raging typhus disease all over the place and fever of everybody that you're coming in contact with. We're going to face it here before we face it there. But I'm telling you, if you don't face those raging emotions there, this isn't just a fail-safe plan that nothing ever's going to happen to you. Nothing's going to happen to you because you get the fear out of you. And you're going to see why you've got to get the fear out of you and what it'll do if you don't. Fear of the unknown. You know, have you ever counted the number of fears that come on you before you take a mission trip? Have you ever just sat down and let's write out all of them? I was laughing at Leslie and Elise's notes. No more excuses. Fear. I'm afraid to go on a mission trip. I was like, I'm not qualified. Isn't it funny? This is like everybody has their list here. Okay, so I'm looking at this.
Not qualified.
Yeah, how many? Have you ever thought of how many excuses happen before you take it? You know, think of my mother. How many times has she spoke in front of people? But when I invited her to San Francisco, I told her, you're going to be on the streets doing cold evangelism. You realize that's different than discipleship of, you know, in churches. So Mother started having this fear picture in her mind of Amanda standing up in front of the church. I got 10 saved. Haley Good. I got 9 saved. You know, oh, I think I got 12. I beat you. And everybody goes down the list, and there's Mother going, I got 0. And Mother said she could see that. She could see every girl. And then here's Peggy Joyce Ruth, the pastor's up, 0. I don't know how to evangelize. So guess what Mom did? She fought the fear before she ever went.
Amen.
And she blasted us out of the water. You know, everyone gets the prize. Somebody gets the prize salvation on the trip. You know, like I think of when we went to Israel and that guy in Jordan crying and said, you mean I can call him Father? And he's boo-hooing crying, you know, or the prize salvation or, you know, the cerebral palsy or, you know, you have all these different things. It's the prize of the trip. Mother got the Muslim guy in the suit saved in the financial district. But she battled her 0 before she went on the trip. Did you know what? You know how some people go, well, fear works good for me because it motivates me. No, people are arguing that. I watched them argue that all day today. And fear is the red flag on the football field that makes you get serious enough to battle it ahead of time to do something about it. And not ignore it. It makes you push through. It's like the person tells you you're too stupid to go to college, and so you end up being a doctor. You know, it's that kind of thing that somebody, let me retell it then, where you're getting spats from the coach for all the C's and D's, and they tell you, you can't get here from here in chemistry here in Powered Pain. And you end up breaking the curve. On the final exam, I'm telling you, fear motivates you only if you battle it, only if you resist against it. Think of all those fears on the mission trip. Fear of going up and evangelizing people. Fear of public speaking. Fear of being rejected. Australia. Fear of not being good enough. It's more than spiders and more than drowning on those pump boats if you can't swim. It's more than the fear of flying because your pilot's drunk. It's more than eating balut. It's more than the fear of catching some bad disease. It is fears that you fight that rock the foundation of your world. And honestly, I'm shocked anybody goes. I am really shocked. If people have never made it a habit to fight fears, I'm shocked they ever go on one of our trips. And you think only, you know, the new ones fight the fears. I'm going to tell you people, Josh, Zach, strong ones, they have a set of fears. They're battling just like everybody else before they go on that trip. Don't think that you get so spiritual you get out of this. Guess what? You're going to battle every day for the rest of your life. It's graduated, it's different sets. So, there's such a thing as logical fears. You will face balut. I mean, there's going to be some things that you face on this trip. You're going to be Olivia coming up to me going, now, how does leprosy transfer? You know, you're going to face some real issues here. But what's funny is dealing with irrational feels, illogical fears. Sorry, Mom. You know, fear will make you do things the hardest way. You know, when we didn't have a staircase in our house, you know, it's two floors. Watching Mother go up the ladder without a staircase. Y'all, she didn't go up front ways. She went up back ways. And she would work, and she told Dad, quit laughing at me. Don't do anything. Just leave me alone. You know how fear is. Leave me alone in my fear. What he was worried about is when she got to the top, you know, and she had to get her back onto the, but this was her way of doing it. You know what? That is a perfect example of thinking about my mother going up the ladder backwards every single time to get to the second floor and then moving the ladder and getting her sit down on the on that second floor and throwing her legs up. You know what? That's what we look like. We go backwards into everything with fear. It's backwards. Look at 1 Kings 19:4-10. It's illogical. Look at Elijah here. I was afraid I was going to be killed, so I want to die. Fear gets intensely and increasingly negative. He is afraid Jezebel will kill him, so he tells God, I want to die. Does that make sense to you? That is fear talking. Fear will always tell you, I'm afraid to die, so let's just kill myself. And have a death. It's the strangest thing. I'm always like, if you have that in you really deep, let me pick a country that they martyr out. And we can send you there and you'll get a little crown of glory. Don't kill yourself and get wasted. I mean, we can have, you know, we'll get you in the Revelations where you get one of those beheaded rewards. You know, they're really good. You know, it's so illogical what fear does to us. And, you know, this was Elijah. You go into your cave and you're so depressed, you tell God you want to die and he feeds you. He sends the wind and the storm and the rain and the small still voice to you, but you still want to die. And you had killed 450 prophets the day before. And one woman got to you, John Jr. That is shocking. It is just shocking. You know, just shocking here. 450 men. You know what it is? It's wigging out with fear. It's that you broke up. You broke up and all along you were thinking they were the one you were going to marry. And it just spins you, abandonment, that thought of I have to be alone again. And you just start feeling that fear, that wigging out. Did you know what? You've got at that moment to deal with the fear. Because otherwise you're going to try to deal with the person. You'll stalk them on Facebook. You'll try to deal with the pain. You'll try to deal with every kind of circumstance in the world. What you got to deal with is the fear. What is that root fear there driving you? The fear of abandonment, the fear of rejection. Sometimes it was just my ego. I mean, if I had seen that come, I would have broke up first. You just don't ever let it happen to you. I mean, you got to be first on the draw there. So anyway, so these are just totally irrational fears. This one's funny. Okay, Matthew 14:29-30. You're walking on the water. Have y'all done that in Sunday school? And you see the wind. Now that's odd. You see the wind. Have you seen wind? So we had two miracles. He was walking on the water and he saw the wind. Now let me tell you why that's irrational. I've swam before. And sometimes if there's 10 feet underneath me, it doesn't bother me. But if there's 100 feet underneath me, it bothers me. Now why? You drown in the same. I'm not 10 feet tall. Even with my arms up, nobody could see my little hands. But drowning at 100 feet is so much worse than drowning at 10. It's illogical. You're looking here and you're saying it's irrational. What does wind have to do with walking on water? It's irrational when you're walking on water to think that the wind or the waves make any difference. It is irrational that we have walked through this all of our life by faith, and today we're scared of the wind and the waves. It's totally irrational. It's illogical. It makes no sense. Why Peter let the wind bother him when he couldn't figure out why the water's holding him up. Y'all, I'm going to tell you, when you see how irrational your fears are, it'll make you logically say, this isn't God. I've got to get this off of me. And you'll push against it. It's irrational. You know, Dad went to see the cabinet maker way back when he was building cabinets for the church. It'd been a few weeks. Dad had paid him for the cabinets and everything. And he hadn't heard from the fellow, so he thought, I'll go see him. So he drives out to Early. And he goes through his gate and he walks to the guy's door. And when the guy comes to the door, the guy is so upset. I mean, he starts screaming at his dogs. And he started telling his dogs, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. He had guard dogs in that gate. And he goes, how did you get up here? He goes, there's no way to get past my guard dogs. And Dad's in shock. Well, he found out the cabinets had been started on. Everything was okay. Now Dad's expecting the guy to put the guard dogs in the house. And he walk out and the guy tells him, no, you walk back through the guard dogs again. And so Dad said the first time he walked through the guard dogs, bravely. He said the second time he walked through those guard dogs, he could see there were like Rottweilers and pit bulls and those type dogs. He said his legs felt like jelly. What had changed? Nothing had changed, except this time he could see the dogs. This time the lights were on. This time Peter could see the wind. He could see the wind. Y'all, I'm telling you, it's when we see it, it's probably there. But seeing it, nothing had really changed in that whole situation but putting the lights on something. When you see something except the strength of Jesus in me, it makes the situation turn for the worse. Like the wind and the waves, Dad was walking through an impossible situation. But the second time it caused the fear. Peter saw the waves and it made the miracle stop. Did you know if you see the wind, it makes your miracle stop? That's shocking to me. Honestly, does that mean that in verse 30, when he saw the wind, his miracle stopped and he began to sink? Guard your eyes. Guard your ears. You got to push. It's illogical when you're walking on water that the wind should bother you. I'm sticking to you. Sometimes I tell myself, if I ever stopped and looked down, I would sink. I don't think I've been walking on water. I've been running on water for so long that I would go completely under. You know, when Gilbert got baptized, we were at the creek. I told everybody, did you know this is the place where I walked on water? You know, about 12 feet. And so I was telling John Jr., I let everybody else think it was a miracle. But I was over there, and I was straining for ghost shrimp. And one of those water moccasins, those fast snakes, started coming after me. He said that with my flip-flops, I didn't ever touch the ground or the mud. I was on the water. That snake was coming after me. You look in life and you're walking on water. Things are moving so fast, so many layers. God's doing your schedule so well. Why let something throw it? Why let a wrench come into it? Fear causes me to battle outward towards people like a drowning person, or it tempts me to use my arm of the flesh to fix it when I need to be paying attention to God and battling the fear. Okay, fear is not a nice sin. Write that down. It's not a nice sin. We think of fear as one of the better sins. Oh, Rachel just has a fear. That's a good sin. She's a good person. In Revelation 21:8, when it makes a list, it says the fearful and the sorcerers and the whoremongers. You know that one's bad, just the word, whoremongers. What on earth does that mean? I don't know, but sorcerers. Yeah, and the sexually immoral. Mortal. Immoral. Okay, so the fearful, the sexually immoral, the sorcerers, the whoremongers, they all get to go to the lake of fire. If you have a nature of fear, you have the nature of the devil, and you get to go where he goes. I'm just advising getting fear out of your life. Fear about not having enough money can lead to envy, coveting. It can lead to greed. It can lead to stealing. Fear this year, action next year. Fear about succeeding in some task will always lead you rude to other people, frustrated. You know, sometimes I'm like, I'm afraid I'm not going to get this done. And, you know, I think Leslie told me, in the military, it's mission first, soldiers always. And you have to, because sometimes I'm like, we got to take the tank and run it over our people. You know, we were in Thailand and the lady kept going, where are your crossliners? And we told them, keep up with us. Well, they don't keep up with you. I told her to leave them. It'll teach them a lesson. I leave them in different countries. I'm looking at this, but it can leave you frustrated. Anxiety about finding the right one can make you self-absorbed, indifferent, and uncaring about other people. And when you break up, you'll have no other friends. You've got to keep all your loves going at once, not just your eros love, your romantic love. You've got to keep your storge and your phileo and your love with God where you don't lose that focus. Fear and people-pleasing can make you cover the truth and lie about little things. People-pleasing will lead to the next thing. So if it's fear, a root sin that has to be conquered, when you get it delivered from you, you're going to be shocked you're going to be delivered from a lot of other sins too. When it comes out, more will come out. The more mature you get, the less fear that you're going to have in your life. People have to put up with the fear in your life. Look in Exodus 13:17. God says, I took you on a longer way, lest you change your minds when you see war and go back to Egypt. He's talking to the children of Israel. He said, I had to take you a much longer route, because if you ever saw war, you would run back to Egypt. Sometimes we have to take you on a different drive to the mission field. Sometimes I have to tell you about the jewelry and the massages and the pedicures and the manicures. And I take you by that route to get you there. By the route of the flesh. Dear flesh, sorry, I took you by the longer way. God was saying I dropped your level. People have a fear of hard times. I'm an American. I don't want to see war. That's not our country. Quit fear. Everyone has to work around your fears but God. Do you know somebody like that where everybody has to work around their fears? Threats. You know what one man told Dad? If you make me pray in church, I'll quit the church. Did you ever make him? Yeah. Working around the fears of a mission field. Don't tell me you don't have any fears. You're lying to me. Face them. People give me so many spiritual reasons, and I always sit there and cross my eyes. I'm like, your spiritual reasons make me mad at you because you're lying to yourself. You face your fears. Admit them. They help. I have fears. Everyone has fears. If you don't have fears, you have something wrong with you. You're one of those people that are like a drunk Indian up there on heights, or like Josh or something weird. Think of a person who has been given too many fears. Fears and anxiety, either because of the way that you're wired or because of how you were raised, you've got to battle that fear. Not put a name on it in life and say, this is my favorite fear. Label it, prize it, bring it up in every conversation. I have this fear. Everybody needs to know about it. Cater to it. You go to hell for it. Look at Revelation 21. Yeah, I'm just worried about that. Fear is a form of not trusting God's. Our eyes get off of God. Y'all, this story, The Bridge, right here, is a book written about my mother's book. It says the bridge between cell block A and a miracle is Psalm 91. And there's a picture of mother's book in it. Her son accidentally murdered somebody and got felony murder charges. And he had 6 months before given his heart to be full-time ministry for God. Doesn't that make sense? Give your heart to the Lord and boom, the devil. Yeah, I was crying. Mother was crying so hard on the plane that people were looking at her. The most interesting part of the book to me was when he got the decision whether he was going to have a jury trial or if he was going to have a bench trial. The judge said, if you have a bench trial, I'll give you 3 to 5 years. A jury trial, you get 30 years for felony murder. His lawyer said, you have to take the bench trial. He and his wife prayed about it. They chose the jury trial. His mom was in the courtroom every day. She was tearing up Bibles. The lawyer was laughing at her. She was tearing verses out of her Bible and holding them in her hands and would give them to everybody to hold in the courtroom that was praying. Did you know that her son had to take the stand and tell what happened that night, that he used his gun, he shoved this guy that had been stealing, and it fired? You know, the guy was killed. They called 911. He tried to put his hand in the wound. He was telling his story, and he was telling the truth. When he got off the witness stand, even the lawyer said, somebody was speaking outside of you, and it wasn't you speaking. He opens his hand, and he was holding Psalm 91. His mother had ripped up Bibles, and everybody was holding Psalm 91 in their hand. point of contact, faith. I'm telling you, battling. It's so interesting to see somebody take a piece of printed material and take it off the page and put it in their heart. It's just shocking that sometimes that your thoughts alarm you. Have you ever had a conversation with fear? Have you ever had a conversation with fear in your head? All right, let me tell you something. When you're making a decision, don't consult your fear. Take a step of faith. Battle the unbelief of fear. The voice of fear is not the voice of God. Remember, in a communist country, everybody heard, don't take any Bibles across the border. Boy, were they sad when all 240 of us got through with Bibles. They were not a smuggler. They couldn't write a book. They had taken them out and I had to carry them across. And they all said God told them to take it out. Don't put God on it. Don't say that. Just say, I'm too scared. You do it this time, Angie. Same parents. They don't ever say, my kid can't go on the mission field because I'm scared to let go of my Isaac. They'll tell you, God told me my kid can't go. Every time. It's just hard to release your Isaac and trust there's a ram in the thicket. Every time they put God's name on. I've not had one honest parent yet that said, I'm afraid to let my kid go. Every time they say, God told me. And you hate to tell a parent. You're just scared. I'm scared too. I hope I don't lose them. Do you know, in the morning, I wake up afraid. I wake up with anxiety on me. C.S. Lewis said he did too. John Piper says he does. Wake up afraid. Pass on that. Okay, then wake up afraid in the morning. Did you know C.S. Lewis says it's like animals and you've got to push them back. They come at me. Before I step out of my house, I've solved my fear issues with that those fears coming towards me. Some of you are not praying, so you just have your own problems. Okay, vain imaginations. You read the pharmaceutical warnings that you'll have clots and strokes and nausea, and you're just picturing them all. Or the billboards, one in every five. I'm five. Conflict with friends, financial fears, a call late in the night. You know, have you ever seen anybody go, use Psalm 112:7. I will not fear evil tidings because they won't come near me. Sometimes I grab my ears and say, I refuse to have an evil report. Stephanie, lost in Manila. And I go join y'all. And they're like, she's been missing for 3 hours. I'm like, 3 hours? I didn't even enjoy my Italian food. And picturing Stephanie in different situations, it always involved duct tape. You know, it's like watching movies in your head. Getting a visit with Stephanie's mother and father. Lost your child. I'm telling you, you deal with vain imaginations. Fear will paint a movie in your head. If you receive it, I think you get it. Stephanie said she prayed. She went and got the oldest taxi driver that looked safe to her, had a Pinoy hotel card that AC and John gave her, and got back and was waiting on us. You know, fear and its remedy. Psalm 34:4 says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me out of most of my fears. Gosh, I thought of. Okay. I delivered me out of, what's that word? Oh, good. I'm glad to hear it. The unbelievable place of being delivered out of a fear. I want you to challenge all your fears. I challenge you to challenge all your fears. The absence of fear. Don't take action. Don't consult your fears. Take a step of faith. But if you don't conquer this, it's going to conquer you. I've got three verses. Job 3:25 says, what I feared came upon me. There's a magnet inside of fear. And it attracts, if you don't deal with it, the fear comes towards you. Proverbs 10:24, fear opens the door. It gives the devil permission to come in. Isaiah 54:14, same type of verse that if you fear it, it'll come. There is some real validity to this. Sometimes what is inside of us is drawing things to us. Fear draws. Fear gives off an odor. In the spiritual realm, take a step of faith. Battle the unbelief of fear. The voice of fear is not the voice of God.
Yeah.
Amen.